friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday. Our starting line on the Sunny Side of Sports is African Athletics. A world champion runner from Uganda is a nominee for a top international award. Samson Omale has that story, as well as African football and African handball news. Sporty greetings, Samson!
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. Joshua Cheptegei, the men's 10,000 meters gold medalist at the just-concluded IWF World Athletics Championship in Doha, has been named among the nominees for the annual IWF Male Athlete of the Year Award. Joshua Cheptegei became the first Ugandan in history to make the 11-man shortlist made by a panel of athletics experts with representation from IWF's six continental areas. The 23-year-old overcame a life-threatening accident in December last year and recovered to win the men's 10-kilometer race at the IWF World Cross Country Championships in Aarhus, Denmark on March 30th. He then stunned Ethiopians to bag the men's 5,000-meter trophy at the IWF Diamond League final in Zurich, Switzerland on August 29th before conquering the 25-lap race at the Khalifa International Stadium with a world lead time of 26 minutes 48.36 seconds in Doha.
It really feels so amazing for me. And when I remember back when I was starting the year, it was really difficult for me because I started with a lot of problems. I got a car crash, of course, towards the festive season in Christmas. And then I was able to recover from that and become the World Cross Country Champion. Then from there, the injury healed, of course, and I went on to win the Diamond League. And, of course, my main title was, of course, to be a world champion here in Doha, which I'm really so grateful to God that he has fulfilled for me.
One of Egypt's most successful football club side, Al Ahly, on Thursday refused to play in the Premier League before playing their postponed match against Zamalek was put off upon the request of the authorities putting more pressure in the ongoing crisis. The Cairo Derby was scheduled for next Saturday, but a decision by the Egyptian Football Association late on Tuesday moved the game to a yet-to-be-determined date and venue. The EFA decision caused the outcry of several clubs and officials due to the disruption of the competition. In a statement issued on the official website on Thursday, the Cairo Giants stressed their respect of security instructions which delayed the game and the fourth round of the Egyptian Premier League. Elsewhere in Ghana, the Normalization Committee of the Ghana Football Association will, in partnership with three media organizations, organize a live radio and television debate for five of the six presidential candidates of the upcoming Ghana Football Association elections. The debate will be held on Monday, October the 21st, and will focus on key areas affecting the development of Ghana football, and questions will seek to elicit solutions-based responses from the presidential candidates. Five of the six presidential candidates have confirmed participation in the debate. They are Amanda Clinton, Fred Palpe, Kurt Okraku, Nana Yor Amponsa, and George Akoma Mensah. In handball news, Kenya and Cameroon have withdrawn from the 2019 Women's Handball African Olympic Qualification Tournament in Dakar, Senegal, next month. The withdrawal of Cameroon and Kenya leaves just Angola, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and host Senegal to battle it out for the lone spot at the Tokyo Olympic Games in 2020. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Thanks, Tatiana, and good luck at the Tokyo 2020 Paralympic Games. World football's governing body, FIFA, says a record viewing audience of more than 1 billion watch coverage of the 2019 Women's World Cup across all platforms. In a news release Friday, FIFA said of those who tuned in, 993.5 million people watched on television. That's an increase of 30% compared to the 2015 Women's World Cup in Canada, which attracted 764 million TV viewers. FIFA says an estimated 481.5 million people watched Women's World Cup coverage on digital platforms, representing 43% of the total audience, and up significantly from 86 million in 2015. FIFA says the final between the United States and the Netherlands was the most watched Women's World Cup match ever, averaging more than 82 million live viewers, a 56% increase from the 2015 final. The USA beat the Dutch 2-0 to win its second consecutive Women's World Cup and fourth overall. Megan Rapinoe had one of the U.S. goals in the final. Rapinoe won both the Golden Ball as best overall player and the Golden Boot as top scorer at the 2019 Women's World Cup. But the awards didn't stop there for Megan Rapinoe. Last month in Milan, Italy, the 34-year-old Rapinoe was named FIFA's best women's player for 2019. In this sunny side of sports highlight for 2019, let's listen in again to Megan's reaction.
Yes, very happy, very happy. A little bit surreal. This year has been very crazy. Last 3 months have been crazy. I've never thought that I would win one of these, so very happy. It's extremely exciting.
Megan Rapinoe is the fourth American woman to win the FIFA award, following Mia Hamm in 2001 and 2002, Abby Wambach in 2012, and Carly Lloyd in 2015 and 2016. Rapinoe's USA teammate Alex Morgan finished second in the voting, and English defender Lucy Bronze was third. Megan Rapinoe says she also had a chance to talk briefly with men's winner Lionel Messi in Milan.
Yes, I speak just about as much Spanish as he does English, so it was a very short conversation. His kids are really cute, and congratulations on the award.
After winning FIFA's Female Player of the Year award, Megan Rapinoe said she hopes to play for the United States at next year's Olympics in Tokyo.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of change. I think this year will be sort of similar. It's a short turnaround to the Olympics. Obviously, I have a new coach and a shorter roster, but I think after that it'll be a big change. I'm getting a little bit older, so we'll see if the coach wants to keep me around. And just enjoying it as it's coming now, though, and looking forward to the Olympics next summer.
Megan Rapinoe also commented on the popularity of women's soccer after she helped lift the trophy in France at the Women's World Cup.
I mean, I think people are actually watching it and not just judging it without watching it. Everyone came to the games and saw how incredible the performance on the field was, the atmosphere in the stands. There's no reason that the experience for the fan has to be any different at a men's game than a women's game. The games are a little bit different, but that's normal. But I think it's just an incredible experience. Fans actually get in the stadiums, watch us play. We're pretty entertaining. Like, we're pretty fun to watch. So I feel like people finally came out in the numbers that we want them to.
That's Megan Rapinoe, the winner of FIFA's Best Women's Player Award for 2019.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. We've reached the quarterfinal stage at the Rugby World Cup in Japan. On Saturday, England will play Australia, and Ireland is matched against two-time defending champion New Zealand. And on Sunday, Wales will face France, and the Brave Blossoms of Japan will host the two-time world champion Springboks of South Africa. For more on the Japan-South Africa match, VOA's Gwen Uten joins us once again. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. 4 years ago, South Africa suffered at the hands of Japan what has been called the biggest upset in Rugby World Cup history. Last month, South Africa enjoyed a certain level of revenge when they defeated Japan 41-7 in a warm-up match. But as the Springboks seek to avenge their World Cup loss against the Brave Blossoms, South Africa captain Siya Kolisi says his team is still haunted by the memory of 2015.
That was very tough to lose like that. It was in England, yeah. It's obviously that was stuck with us until the game we had to play when we got here. And it's something obviously that we never want to go through again. And you know, but they're a much, much better team now. And it was good to play that game before the World Cup, you know, just to get that monkey off our back. But now it's a different ball game again. You know, it's playoffs, so we're going to have to be at our best again, because they've really improved as a team. They're a much better team now than they were 4 years ago.
And South Africa fly half Andre Pollard says 4 years later, the Springboks are also a much improved team.
4 years ago was a complete different story. It's a different South African side, different World Cup, different place. So a lot has happened in the meantime. Us as a group, the guys of that was part of that in 2015, certainly learned from the mistakes we made, and hopefully we can improve on that going into this playoff series. So, it's not a big focus. We just focus on Japan, and it's as simple as that, playing our best rugby on Sunday and winning, whether it's by 1 point or whatever. Just got to win.
And according to South Africa backline coach Mzwandile Stick, the key to winning is to interrupt Japan's fast-paced attack.
The thing is, though, with the Japan side, they playing with a high tempo. They've got very skillful players, and you can see they are world-class when it comes to coaching. When you look at the way they're playing, you call it the champagne rugby, where if on a day it goes through hands, they can punish you. So we're going to have to make sure that we switch on and make sure that we're well-organized, because they're going to really lift up the tempo when it comes to this game.
That up-tempo style of play has helped Japan advance to their first quarterfinals as the leader in Pool A. And Japan coach Jamie Joseph says their historic run at the tournament in front of the home crowd has given his team a boost in confidence.
To be really frank about that, the players have really taken over. It's a really good sign as a coach, because when you feel a little bit redundant, you know that there's real belief in your team and there's real confidence in the team, and that's what I'm feeling as the head coach with the players. And we've grown in the last 5 to 6 weeks. We've grown mentally, and then with those improvements and those improvements with our confidence, then our game is improving.
South African head coach Rossi Erasmus says he's chosen a matchday squad with the aim of neutralizing Japan's much-improved team by playing to South Africa's strengths, keeping the game physical.
The team selection is threefold. You know, I think, first of all, the matchday 23 is probably our best in-form current fit players that we've selected. That's why we went with a 6-2 split. Secondly, it's to nullify the space that they normally create around tight forwards with the speed that they have. And then the third one is to play towards our strengths, which is physical rugby in set phases, mauling, scrums. So we'll definitely try and play the game at our pace, and they will try and play the game at their pace.
And Coach Erasmus says the match will all come down to which team handles the pressure best. Well, we will soon find out which team buckles under the pressure and which team uses it to their advantage when South Africa and Japan face off in the quarterfinals on Sunday in Tokyo. And that is all from me. I'll have more sporting news next week. For now, it's back to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen, and you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. VOA's Jim Stevenson joins us now with a package of golf and tennis news, and Jim says a young Russian tennis player tops his report.
Russian Daniil Medvedev is riding the wave of young tennis players rising to the top of the professional game.
Here I looked invincible this week since I'm the winner. Because as I say, I don't like to talk about future because you never know what future got for you. And that's why my answer stays the same. Okay, this week, yes, I probably was invincible. But for the next upcoming weeks, I'm not sure.
Medvedev won his fourth title of the year at the Shanghai Masters in China, crushing German Alexander Zverev in the final 6-4, 6-1.
I could have lost at least three sets here, but finally didn't lose one. And that's why, yeah, crucial moments. I kind of know what do I have to do and where do I have to play. If I have to play it with spin or slice or drop shot, stuff like this.
Zverev found Medvedev a difficult challenge.
He plays very flat. He plays with shots that you can't really do anything with the ball, I feel like. So, and that is difficult to play against him in an aggressive way. Sometimes that may be why it looks maybe on TV or from the outside that players are not playing as aggressive against him as against others, but I feel like he doesn't let you. I mean, he's playing well. As I said on court, he's probably the best player in the world right now.
Zverev has played Medvedev before and thinks he's evolved to another level of tennis.
He's a different player now. You can't compare, but I talked to my dad about it and then obviously my coaching staff and everybody. To beat these kind of players, you have to have a lot of confidence. You know, to beat someone like him or to beat someone like Novak, you have to be playing for good for a longer period of time, not just for 1 week.
Both finalists evaded two of the best players ever to pick up a tennis racket. World number one Novak Djokovic of Serbia, who was eliminated by Greek Stefanos Tsitsipas, and Zverev, upsetting Swiss great Roger Federer, who likes seeing the next generation emerge.
Yeah, I mean, they're knocking on the door big time, you know, the young guys. It's exciting, they're great. It's really open now, I think, you know, for the finish of this this tournament.
Medvedev says he's moving ahead, taking every opportunity he can.
I'm going to try my best to show great results as I did here, and if something like this is gonna happen, it's just a big bonus. This would be amazing.
An amazing golf win indeed by Bernd Wiesberger of Austria, who came from behind to edge Matthew Fitzpatrick of England by one shot at the Italian Open near Rome.
I've done really well when I was in position, even though it was felt like a long battle today with Matthew playing really good golf out here and really being a golf coach that suits his game. So
we felt we needed to get to 15, and it was nice to get one more and just get over the line.
He beat his 15 under par target by one, and with his third win of the year, Fiesberger has made a strong comeback from wrist surgery that ended his season last year.
We've just really embraced the challenge when we were in those positions and embraced just the possibility to be back there. And, you know, it's just a lovely feeling to be standing here now with three trophies this year. It's surreal.
Fitzpatrick was happy with his play.
Played great. Yeah, just disappointing because the way I played this week was fantastic. So to lose by one is obviously pretty disappointing.
He also has given up the lead on the final day a few times this year.
I've been in the position, well, three of the four times been in the position with the lead. And yeah, just all the guys have just played better on Sunday.
Fitzpatrick has no answer for another runner-up finish.
I wouldn't say I've particularly thrown him away. I think I've played well when I've been up there on a Sunday. Just other people really, really keep annoying me and keep coming up from behind. So, look, it is what it is.
Fiesberger is building his confidence as the European players have their sights on the season-ending race to Dubai title.
Doing well in the big events, Scotland, in Ireland, and now here obviously helps a lot. But you know, we really try and push ourselves for the last 4 weeks at the end of the year, and hopefully get a chance at that race to Dubai title as well. Come the last round.
I think always, as you know, proud Frenchman, I think it's important to come here and play in front of the home fans. I think, you know, I think a lot of French players are having a good season. I think they're really looking forward to the tournament.
For Victor Perez and the rest of the French golfers in the field, this week is all about playing on home soil at the Open de France. Perez says it's good pressure for a change.
Really enjoy the fact that the fans are here to cheer for you, and then it's about just having a blast. It's one of the week of the year where, you know, you play at home and kind of free will it, which I think is a better attitude than, you know, to feel this extra pressure. So I'm definitely going to go out and go for it, try to play as good as I can, like I try to do every week, and see where it takes me.
Lucas Herbert is ready to play.
Yeah, it's always special to play on your home soil. I mean, yeah, you know, we're going to have like some people watching, and it's always interesting also to learn how to manage this different pressure than usual.
He feels the course will be a good test.
Yeah, it's very challenging because there is a lot of tough hole, but I think if you play good from the tee and hit a lot of fairway, you can have a lot of birdies opportunity. It's not very long, but you need to be very accurate from the tee. I think this is the key this week.
Roman Langesque has had some experience playing in front of the home crowd.
I remember my first time was tough, but I mean, now I'm better prepared, and I think I'm just going to enjoy so much sharing this moment with my family and with every people watching me over there.
He feels weather could be the biggest challenge.
I think it's going to be windy and maybe a bit rainy, and it's always more cold.
And there's the tough 18th hole, perhaps one of the most difficult finishing holes players will see all year.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. Finally, let's give a sunny side of sports salute to South Sudan-born Luol Deng, who after 15 seasons in the National Basketball Association is retiring as a Chicago Bull. The 34-year-old Deng played in 22 games last season for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Lou signed a symbolic contract with the Bulls, who he played his first 9-plus NBA seasons with, and then officially announced his retirement. Luol Deng earned NBA All-Star honors in 2012 and 2013 with Chicago. In addition to the Bulls and Timberwolves, Deng played for the Cleveland Cavaliers, Miami Heat, and Los Angeles Lakers. In 902 games over his 15 NBA seasons, Deng averaged almost 15 points and 6 rebounds a game. In a statement, Chicago's president and chief operating officer Michael Reinsdorf said, and I quote, "We're very fortunate and humbled that Luol has chosen to retire as a Chicago Bull. He was a role model on and off the court here in Chicago, and he gave everything he had to help us win. I want to thank Luol for not only what he accomplished on the court for the team, but also for the leadership he demonstrated through his philanthropic efforts." Nothing but net, Luol Deng. And that wraps up the October 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Nadia Taha. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
You want to listen to the latest African music? Dance to the best African beat from across the African continent? Then you don't have a problem. Just tune in to the African beat on The Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays at exactly 0900 and 2000 Universal Time. African Beat, the show that brings happiness into your homes, smiles on your faces. So join me, your host, David Vandy, Monday through Friday, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time on The Voice of America. Habaki Mondongo, Mwana Mobali, Habaki Mondongo,
Mwana Mobali, Habaki Mondongo. African Beats is the best. It's number one. We love it.
Yes, finally, it's the weekend. Hey there, this is Heather Maxwell. Do you really want to enjoy yourself? I can help you with that. You don't even have to leave your home or spend a single cent. Just tune in to your local radio station this Sunday and listen to Music Time in Africa. 55 minutes of commercial-free Pan-African music, exclusive interviews, and music news. This Sunday's playlist features amazing music from 12 different countries. Song of the week is Je suis Africain by the late Rachid Taha from Algeria. And my vintage tune takes you back to 1983 Ghana. Yenti by Smart Nkanza and Becky B. Yenti. So don't miss it. Music Time in Africa, 1505 or 2005 Universal Time.
Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you the biggest stories of the day. Our global correspondents report the news objectively and comprehensively, keeping you informed about important world events. International Edition provides analysis from the most seasoned experts around the world to put the day's events into context to better understand what's happening and how it may affect you. Listen to International Edition Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 Universal Time on the Voice of America or your local affiliate. You can also listen to the show on demand by visiting the program page at voanews.com or by subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts. VOA's International Edition, your go-to source for accurate, comprehensive, and objective news.
What's going on, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi coming to you from the Voice of America studios here in Washington, D.C. Join us each week on Upfront as we discuss a range of topics. The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
Eliminate the mentality that girls cannot do what boys can do.
You basically need to go to school. There's just no way you're going to get all the skills that people want from you or they expect from you if you're not at school.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
And AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory reports its heat flow and physical properties package, one of three primary instruments on its Mars InSight lander, is moving again. Nicknamed the Mole, the heat probe is supposed to burrow itself into the surface of Mars to take its internal temperature. The mole was designed to dig as much as 16 meters into the interior of Mars, but in early March 2019, after digging to a depth of about 35 centimeters, it hit rocks and stopped working. To get the mole moving again, operators of the InSight lander used its robotic arm to help it dig nearly 2 centimeters over the past week. NASA says while the current digging process is modest, renewed movement of the probe is significant. The space agency's InSight lander was sent to explore the interior structure of the red planet. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is VOA News. I'm Liz Paltrow.